Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. How you doing? How was your day today? Huh? Have a good day? Well, we're here to screw it up for you. How's that? Welcome to the program. Seriously, I went to KPTK's website, AM 1090 in Seattle. They have the video up from the event we had last Saturday night with the remaining liberal, most of the remaining liberal talk show hosts in this once great country. So check it out. It's kind of fun, I think. Do you remember when the senior senator from New York, Charles Schumer, was scratching around trying to find somebody to take the place of the recently ousted Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez? By the way, whatever happened to Bush's Tejano? He's just kind of disappeared, hasn't he? Is he dodging warrants, too? I hope so. I hope someday he'll be dodging warrants, and I hope somebody catches him. I'd like to be the one to catch him. Oh, God. You know, if these guys had warrants, wouldn't you love to do that? Wouldn't you love to just take a break from your job, if you still have one, and we'll form a posse, and we'll get some rich liberal to support us, and we will go out and round up all these rat bastards? Huh? Wouldn't that be fun once you're out of office? I get Cheney and Gonzalez. And Karl Rove. I want him. I want David Addington, too. Oh, what a snot. Huh? Wouldn't you like to be the guy who puts the cuffs on David Addington and the leg shackles? Huh? Come here, David, you little twit. Get over here. Put your ankles out here. Good. But I digress. Charles Schumer, he, being the good Democrat that he is, being the great civil libertarian that he is, and some of you people just continually bust my chops because I get on these Democrats like white on rice. You got to be kidding me. Charles Schumer, when he popped up out of the weeds with his nominee to be the attorney general who would take the place of the criminal Alberto Gonzalez. Ah, who'd he pop up with? Michael Mukasey. Now, there were some of us, and I don't mean just on this side of the mic, on your side of the mic, too. A lot of people sent emails, immediately did the research, sent emails into this program and to other liberal programs and just said, oh my God, what about this guy? Well, what about this guy? We're finding out. Attorney General Michael Mukasey, Chuck Schumer's good friend, and the one that Schumer sponsored to be Attorney General. Bipartisanship is so lovely, isn't it? You know, these rat bastard Republicans who talk about, well, you know, the Democrats got to get bipartisan, you know. We can't continually be at each other's throats. Really? No, I don't think so. I think bipartisanship is a joke. It stinks. Politics ain't beanbag. Get out your carpet cutters. You know what I'm saying? Bipartisanship. Yeah. When's the last time you heard a Republican going, well, this is a bipartisanship thing? So here's Michael Mukasey, sponsored by Chuck Schumer, who now is proposing to allow the FBI to open investigations of U.S. citizens with no suspicion of wrongdoing of any kind, just for the goddamn hell of it. No reason. Nothing. The investigations, this is in the New York Times, it's in the Washington Post, it's all over the freaking place. But you know what? It wasn't on the NBC or ABC News tonight, because I watched both of them. Ah, not a freaking word. The investigations would allow the FBI to obtain all personal records. Everything. Financial. Phone. Internet. Health. Travel, driver's license, blood type, everything. With no warrants, no reasons, nothing. Now, why would they be doing this? For data mining and surveillance purposes, that's all. Can you believe this? Huh? This is what these sons of bitches are doing the last 70 days, 80 days, whatever the hell it is, until they're run out of office. Actually, it goes until January 20th. Oh, my God, the damage they can do. Now, of course, President Obama is going to immediately reverse all this, isn't he? Of course he is. Only four Democratic senators. Four! Out of how many? What do we have, 51? Four senators. White House, Feingold, Durbin, and Kennedy have been pushing back on this, saying no, 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 this can't happen. Four Democratic senators. You know, I'm getting to the point where when I get emails from people who consider themselves to be Democrats and want to run me out of the party, there's not too much I can do except read your email and just think, how could you be such a dumbass? But I think what I'm going to start doing is just blocking your email addy from now on, because I am so sick of it. If you folks who claim to be Democrats, forget liberals, forget liberal. Just if, when you claim to be a Democrat and you're going to tell me that you would tolerate a skunk like Charles Schumer in the Democratic Party, you're going to sit back and go, well, Mike, now, come on, he's a Democrat. At least he doesn't have an R after his name. How insane do some of you phony ass Democrats have to get before you finally get committed? I'll tell you. So according to the New York Times, this plan put out there by Michael Mukasey, sanctioned by Chuck Schumer, who introduced this rat bastard to the American public and then got him confirmed by a Democrat Party controlled Senate. And you people are talking to me about John McCain might appoint somebody. In the first place, he doesn't appoint. He nominates. It's up to the Senate to confirm. Except in rare instances, even his cabinet members have to be confirmed. Oh, Mike's talking about voting for a Republican. Oh, Jesus. What difference does it make when you have snakes in the Democratic Party like Charles Schumer? And whoever in the Democratic Party, I don't have the list in front of me. Whatever Democrat senator voted for Michael Mukasey should get his or her ass out of this party. Go join the party of God. Go join the GOP. Get out of town.
Oh, but Mike, we only have the two choices.
Really? No, you don't. You have plenty of choices, but you've been so brainwashed. So anyway, tonight, go ahead, start the threads. While Malloy's going off on us again, what the hell is wrong with him? Boy, what a sick-ass guy he is. You know, he's old. He's married to a woman 40 years younger than him. You know, dumb son of a bitch. Did you see him out there in Seattle? Christ, he could hardly walk up on the stage. Go ahead. In the meantime, you Democrats are the ones who are murdering the United States of America. I want you to know that you can't push it off on the Republicans. You can't. If you're a Democrat and you're tolerating this, it is your responsibility. You are an enabler. You are a codependent. You are willing to give up every single constitutional protection. For what reason? You suckers make me angry. You really do. I get more angry at Democrats than I ever would at Republican. I expect a Republican to slip out of the weeds and try to slit my throat. But you Democrats, who will continue to vote for scum like Charles Schumer, who introduced this country to Michael Mukasey, who now has decided that the fact that you're a goddamn American makes you suspicious, and everything about you can be dragged into an FBI surveillance room and looked at. How does it feel, Democrats?
Big Brother. I'm a little frightened about getting on the computer.
Past the hour. Yeah, how do you get more furious about anything other than what is being suggested here? The plan, which could be made public next month in some sort of hearings, I guess, has already, according to Eric Lichtblau, writing the New York Times, has already generated intense interest and speculation. Among who? Among what group? When you have been talking with your friends around the water cooler or the lunch counter or standing in line at the grocery store or at the tag office, wherever you congregate, the local bar, have you been talking about this? Have you been talking about what Mukasey is planning? I was just in Seattle. I didn't hear anybody say a word about it. I was sitting up on a stage with seven alleged progressives and liberals. I didn't hear a word about this. Have you? So who is it that Eric Lichtblau thinks is are discussing this? I like what he adds. Little is known about this precise language, this directive that is coming from the Justice Department under Michael Mukasey. Lichtblau writes that congressional staff members, secretaries, got a glimpse of some of the details in closed briefings this month, and then the four Democratic senators I mentioned told Attorney General Mukasey in a letter yesterday that they were troubled by what they heard. Troubled? Troubled? Now, great. Russ Feingold, Richard Durbin, Edward Kennedy, and Sheldon Whitehouse. Good. Good on you, boys. But troubled? Is that the best you can do? Troubled? I must have missed it. I must have missed the immediate press conferences called by each of these four senators where they stood in front of the American public and said, holy jumping Christ, here we go again. Now look what they're trying to do. I missed that one. Did you see it, Kathy? I didn't see it. Anybody out there see that press briefing by Feingold or Durbin or Kennedy or White House? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody see that? Can I see some hands? No, no hands. No hands. Okay, well, no, I guess we all missed it. Now, according to reports, Mukasey's KGB, the new Justice Department, they would make Putin proud. Putin looks over here and goes, son of a bitch, those people really, they've got it down, man. They have got it down. The Justice Department is already expecting criticism over the FBI guidelines.
Oh, they're guidelines? Oh, that's all? Oh.
And in an effort to preempt critics, this thug, this Nazi, Mukasey, gave a speech last week in Portland, Oregon, describing the plan as an effort to, are you ready? Are you ready? It's an effort to, quote, integrate more completely and harmonize the standards that apply to the FBI's activities, because the differing standards we have now have caused confusion for our field agents. There you go. It's to harmonize and integrate all these confusing rules. So there will be no longer any confusion at all. Every single American is now subject to a complete top-to-bottom stripping of his or her privacy. Even you right-wing scum, do you think they're going to leave you alone too? You dumb bastards, you think you are protected because you do for the Republican Party what Monica did for Clinton? Do you really? Oh, you are stupider than your voting records indicate. You think you're free from this. Oh, wait, no, I got it. That's right. You don't care because you have nothing to hide. And after all, we've got to secure the homeland, right? So while the Democratic members of the Senate and the House turn my stomach, I realize that they can do something about this and won't. But Republicans out here in Etherville, you know, you scum who walk around with your heads way up your rectums, just far enough so you can plug in your headphones and listen to Rush Limbaugh, who don't think this applies to you. They're going to find out about all your child molestation activities, all your tax scams, all your cheating and lying and sneaking, all the times you picked boogers out of your nose and ate them. It's all going to be on video. All the times you sat in the bathroom and said, oh, God, I wish I had some Metamucil right now. It's all going to be out there. Don't you get it? Freaks. Differing standards in the FBI, Mukasey says, have caused confusion for field agents. Really? Differing standards? What would they be, Michael? Huh? Are there FBI investigative standards different in Baltimore than, say, San Diego? Well, damn! We've got to correct that! I'll tell you what. Let's make it like this. Any American, anywhere, for any time, don't need a reason, can be stripped down to the bone. Every single piece of his or her personal activity and record is now open for government surveillance. That'll simplify things for the FBI agents out there in the field, right, Michael?
I believe that it's very important for people to be to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
Do your work in private, huh? You snake. This is astonishing stuff, and of course it's not reported in a manner that the majority of Americans have access to it. Sure, it's in the New York Times. Sure, it's in the Washington Post. Sure, you can find it in an FBI website, perhaps, if you know how to navigate that site and find these directives and these suggestions. But it is truly mind-boggling. Probable cause started to disappear when, back in the day, back in the 70s, when somebody would get stopped for running a stop sign, and the cops could say, all right, you've got long hair, and I'll tell you what, step out of the car, we're going to search. And the guy said, no, you can't do it. Yes, we can. So they drag him out of the car, and they would look and find a joint. And then the guy would get busted for drug possession. Probable cause stopped with all, started to erode and disappear when there were traffic stops for no reason whatsoever. Roadblocks would be set up. Oh, what? Is there escape? A prisoner around somewhere? Somebody murder somebody? No. Just pull over here and show us your papers, your driver's license, your registration, your insurance card. I left him at home. Oh, you left him at home. Okay. And then you would either be given a ticket, a summons, or taken to jail. And nobody said anything. What did we say? We said, well, you know, people should be driving without a license or insurance card. Sure, that's very true. So is the way you make sure people don't drive without a license or insurance card is to set up roadblocks? Or is there some other mechanism at work there? Let's get the people used to roadblocks, okay? Let's do that. Let's get them used to roadblocks. Mukasey now says that rather than this directive expanding government power, the one that says anybody can be investigated and all their personal activities exposed to policing agency, any court, anywhere in America, in criminal or civil cases. Do you understand this? If you after this goes through, if you decide to sue somebody for something, maybe you want to sue a manufacturer because the manufacturer produced a product and your kid got a hold of it and your kid chewed on it and your kid died. Oh, well, there's a good lawsuit, right? Not anymore. Because now all of your personal records will be available to the attorney who will defend the corporation who murdered your child.
What?
That's right.
Well, how does that affect me, Mike?
Well, let's supposing when you were 16, you're now 52. When you were 16, you got busted for DUI. And now it's all out there. So the attorney for the corporation can go into the courtroom and say, ladies and gentlemen, this drunk sitting over here, this irresponsible father who get behind the wheel of a car, this drunk is now blaming us because his kid is dead.
You see what I mean?
Anyway, McCasey says that rather than expanding government power, this directive will clarify the rules by which the FBI conducts its intelligence mission. It will clarify the rules, which means simply that now everyone is a suspect. That's how you clarify the rules. Probable cause, gone. Habeas corpus, gone. Fourth Amendment, gone. Fifth Amendment, gone. First Amendment, gone. When the sons of bitches start working on the Second Amendment, that's when I come out guns blazing, huh? Remember all those crazy militia right-winger types who used to walk around saying, they're going to come for your guns. They're going to come for your guns. It's going to be a gun grab. Remember all the liberals and Democrats say, oh, Jesus Christ, there they go again. Guess what? All those militia-type nuts were right. Except for one little thing, of course, they tried to convince us that a Democrat would do it, that Al Gore would do it, or a John Edwards would do it, or a Michael Dukakis would do it. When in fact, the only one who's done it so far has been George Walker Bush and his private Gestapo Blackwater in New Orleans. But here we are. Here we are. You notice how these cowardly sons of bitches are very delicately stepping around the Second Amendment, right? Fourth Amendment, in the trash. Fifth Amendment, in the trash. First Amendment, in the trash. Eighth Amendment, in the trash.
Let's not get too close to the Second Amendment. That's going to piss off too many people, and they might do something.
In 2002, John Ashcroft, then the Attorney General, allowed FBI agents to visit public sites like mosques or monitor websites in the course of national security investigations with no warrants, no probable cause, nothing. The next year, George W. Bush issued guidelines allowing officials to use ethnicity or race to detect a threat. You're what? You're Italian? Oh, son of a bitch. Well, get over here, boy. You're a suspect. Why? I'm Italian.
Well, that's exactly what I just said.
Race. Race. You can be investigated now because of your race. Okay. Those four Democratic senators who were protested this, Durbin, Feingold, Kennedy, and Whitehouse, those four Democratic senators said the draft plan, see, they circulated a draft plan out there first.
Hey, look at this, guys. Now, you know, this is not law yet. Just take a look. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to modify it.
Yeah, they always modify it tighter than what they first show to the dupes. The dupes in this case being these four distinguished senators, and eventually it filters down to you and me if we pay attention. But, you know, we're too focused on who's Obama going to pick as his running mate. How many houses does John McCain really own? Oh, really? 9743? Oh, is that right? Son of a bitch. That's what we focus on, don't we? The Democratic senator said the draft plan appeared to allow the FBI to go even further in collecting information on Americans than in the past. They also said there appeared to be few constraints on how the information would be shared with other agencies. Few constraints means, you know, nothing. No constraints. The Justice Department said yesterday that in light of requests from members of Congress, all for Christ's sake, for more information, well, okay, Attorney General Mukasey would agree not to sign the new guidelines before a September 17th congressional hearing. Oh, my God. All right. Is that Congress still sticking their ass in our faces? We are the imperial presidency. What is going on? Okay. All right. We'll have your little toy hearings. It gets worse. How could it get worse, Malloy? U.S. citizens who choose to leave the country for any reason. If you, you're going to travel someplace, leave the country means go to Canada, too. Okay. Canada's a foreign country. Leave the country means go to Mexico. I mention those two because, you know, you can drive there, right? You just drive. But God forbid you could go to someplace really exotic and foreign like Britain. U.S. citizens who choose to leave the country will have the records of their leaving the country kept for 15 years and will be made available to any litigious attorney. Do you understand that? No, this is not Nazi Germany. It's partly Nazi Germany, but it's more like the Soviet Union. So to reiterate, the Justice Department is going to unveil this plan next month. The plan will allow the FBI to open an investigation into anyone with no suspicion of anything. What's your name, boy? Abe Snake. Oh, really? That's an interesting name. Sit down while we take a look at your records. Now, the Washington Post says the Department of Homeland Security has been quietly building this database of every border crossing by a U.S. citizen. And like I mentioned, they intend to hang on to the data for 15 years. And then what? They're going to run it through a shredder. They're going to rehire Oliver North. Ollie, bring your hoe back and come on. We got some shredding to do. They're going to hold on to it for 15 years. Oh, by the way, foreigners who travel into or out of the United States will have their data stored for, are you ready? 75 years. And all this information will be exempted from the 1974 Privacy Act. You realize where we're living now, don't you? We can go through oil and throw a party when we can. Some guy refuses to fight, we call that the sin. When he's standing on the one he believes in, that thing's pretty damn embarrassing.
Don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
It's about 10 before the hour. Okay, I'm starting to get those emails again that say, Mike, calm down. Oh, my God, you're going to have a heart attack. Yeah, so what? I don't think I'm going to. But I can't believe this is happening, and I can't believe it is happening in broad daylight. It's happening. There's not a Democrat in the United States House or Senate that has not been in on this scam for the past 8 years. Everything. The torture racks, the renditions, all the illegality run by the Bush crime family, the signing statements, all of it. If there is a Democrat in any position of power in the House or the Senate who has not been aware of what has been going on, then he or she should be run out of town. How can you operate in government and not know that the government is very deliberately, consciously closing the noose around your neck? But you know what? We're going to do it again, aren't we? Yes, we are. We Democrats, yeah, just like the good little lemmings that we are. You know, we make fun of those Christian fundamentalists who walk in that would vote for Satan if it said Satan with an R after it, right? The base of the Republican Party, they don't care who they vote for because they're good little bastards. They do what they're told, just like Democrats. Huh? You think you're any different? You're going to do it again, aren't you? You're going to vote for the corporate candidate that has the D after his name, because you know why? After he's elected, you and your friends are going to get together and hold his feet to the fire and make him change. Now, do you think any of this matters to Barack Obama? Why am I talking about Barack Obama? Because like so many people, I thought Barack Obama was about change. I thought Barack Obama was about seizing the moment. I thought Barack Obama, I was right there, right in the front row, screaming my guts out. You go, Barack. Yay, amen, it's about time. Hey, we got a real liberal, we got a real Democrat. And then he signs the FISA, the new FISA agreement. That totally destroys the Fourth Amendment. So let me ask you, truth seeker, honest to God, really, straight ahead, straight up question. I'm not going to scream it, not going to yell it, just very straight up question. Since we know how Barack Obama voted on the FISA bill, which granted retroactive immunity to lawbreakers, and we also know that the FISA Act opens up all of our phone calls, all of our emails, all of our privacy to incipient fascists, neo-fascists, with no warrants, nothing. We're all exposed and naked, and we have no recourse, none. Since Obama agreed to that, do you think that when he is elected president, he's going to sit down with his attorney general and say, okay, I want all of this stuff rescinded? Do you? Do you think that this new directive by Michael Mukasey, who was presented to the American people by a senior Democrat and then confirmed by a Democratic-controlled Senate, do you think whomever Obama picks as Mukasey's replacement, if he picks anyone as a replacement, do you think that Obama will sit the man or the woman down in the Oval Office before it's made public and say to this nominee to be Attorney General, I want all this stuff shoved down the toilet. We're going to restore democracy, representative government. We're going to restore the underpinnings of this republic. Do you think Barack Obama's going to do that? Do you really? Or do you think you're going to have to hold his feet to the fire? Either Barack Obama is a liar now, or he'll be a liar when he's elected president. Which is it? It has to be one or the other. If he says that the Fourth Amendment is no longer operative and votes to for the new FISA Act as he did, what does that mean to you? What does that mean? You're a Democrat. For Christ's sake, don't sit there and compose some kind of a jerkwad email to me because I'm pointing this out. Send an email to the Barack Obama campaign and ask them what in the hell this candidate is doing. It's easier to send it to the screaming talk show host, right? Yeah. Do that. That'll work. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, and did you hear? This is the headline. Here it is. This is the headline online at ABC News. Listen to this. Here it is. It's from the Associated Press. I don't know if the AP wrote it or if they wrote it over at abcnews.com. Go to, well, it's right there on the webpage. U.S.-Iraq reach deal to pull U.S. troops out by June. Huh? There's the headline. Hot damn. U.S. and Iraq have reached a deal to pull U.S. troops out by June. Well, that's pretty clear, right? Not so fast, Truth Seeker. We'll give you the rest of that little page on ABC.com, ABCNews.com, and in USA Today when we come back. But it's a great headline, isn't it? U.S., Iraq, reach deal to pull U.S. troops out by June. Well, son of a bitch, the boys are coming home, right? Wrong. Scary times. Scary times. This is the Malloy program on Novam Radio. You have to have your asbestos fire-resistant suit on if you're going to play in my sandbox. I don't want any of you phony-ass liberals coming around here. I don't want any weak-kneed Democrat sob sisters or sob brothers. Really, I just don't need you. I don't want you. I don't like you. You know, you are part of the problem. You and these brain-dead Republicans. So if you don't qualify in any of those aforementioned categories, welcome to the program. Really, I am so over Democrats who just sit there and twist their hair or pick boogers out of their nose and just say, well, I don't know, Mike, if we don't vote for Obama, we're really screwed. What do you call where we are now? And again, I just ask you to consider, after having voted for retroactive immunity for corporate lawbreakers, as Obama did, and voting to utterly and absolutely gut the Fourth Amendment, as Barack Obama did, do you honestly believe that when Michael Mukasey's new scam becomes the law of the land, that President Obama is going to sit down with his attorney general nominee and say, okay, let's get rid of this? Huh? Do you? You do? Well, then, do you know how to fly? Here's all you have to do. Just close your eyes and think of pleasant thoughts, and you can fly. Huh? Whew. Whew. Isn't this fun? Whew. What? We're not flying? So anyway, at abcnews.com, there's a headline, U.S. Iraq reach deal to pull U.S. troops out by June. I saw that today. I thought, oh, son of a bitch, what has happened? Oh, man, this is great. This is great. What happened? What happened? What happened? And then you read it. Iraq and the U.S. have reached preliminary agreement to withdraw American forces from Iraqi cities by next June. That's according to Iraqi Foreign Minister Hoshyar Zebari and Condoleezza Rice, the shoe lady. Yes, they had a meeting today. They did. They had a meeting. The negotiations over a withdrawal timetable follow a long insistence by President Bush that setting any schedule for U.S. troops to leave would be dangerous. Democrat Barack Obama has said he would begin pulling troops out immediately upon taking office and have all combat forces out within 16 months. Republican John McCain has said the situation in Iraq would dictate any pullout schedule, not a timetable set up without consideration of how the war is going. Rice and Zebari. Sounds like something you get at a Middle Eastern restaurant, doesn't it? Rice and Zebari. That's good. Appearing together at a news conference, asserted that the proposed deal reflects growing confidence in the ability of Iraqi forces to secure the country. A final agreement would require endorsement by top Iraqi leaders and the Iraqi parliament. The shoe lady was out there today. We were going to get some sound, and I told of her, and I just said, no, don't. I can't. I can't listen to this woman. We think it's a good agreement. We recognize that the government still has to review this agreement and will await that process. And then it obviously has to go to the Council of Representatives. We have agreed that some goals, some aspirational timetables for how that might unfold are well worth having in such an agreement. So, you know, you see the headline. Now, over at USA Today, the headline is U.S.-Iraq close to deal on future of troops. A little less misleading, but there it is in the first line. The Bush administration and Iraqi government are close to completing a security agreement that Iraqi officials said tentatively calls for U.S. combat troops to be withdrawn from Baghdad and other cities by next summer. What about beyond that? Well, this draft agreement also calls for all U.S. combat troops to be out of Iraq by 2011. 2011. More than 3 more years. Iraq initially wanted all combat troops out by the end of 2009, but agreed to push the date to 2011 after the U.S. agreed to protect their money, Iraqi money that's in U.S. banks, you know, from being seized by creditors. Gee, who would that be? The so-called creditors, most of whom are American contractors, have already gouged and ripped and raped the country, stolen everything that was not nailed down, then went and got hammers and pried the goddamn nails loose. So they could continue to steal. Are those the people who U.S. banks are going to protect?
Protect.
They're going to protect. They're going to protect Iraqi deposits. U.S. banks are going to protect Iraqi funds? U.S. banks are falling like flies around a dung heap. U.S. banks are going to protect Iraqi funds? Oh, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the troop withdrawal, White House spokesman Gordon Jandro said he would not comment on ongoing negotiations. We never count on talk about ongoing negotiations. We never talk about investigations until they're completed. Of course, we can prevent all investigations from ever being completed. It's very simple. We just refuse to send people to testify. It's so goddamn easy. You people are so stupid. Oh, we love you. We love your stupidity, especially you Democrats. We just love how stupid you really are. So I can't comment because, there are ongoing negotiations. And, oh, by the way, the U.S. Embassy in Iraq also declined to comment. Really? Supporters of the Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, whose party controls, I think, 30 of the 275 parliamentary seats in Iraq, and he's also the guy that runs the so-called Mahdi Army and has, you know, fought U.S. troops off and on since, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. Anyway, Muqtada al-Sadr's people are saying that he's insisting on a binding timetable for all U.S. troops to withdraw. We want a timetable. An al-Sadr spokesman said the agreement that is out there for this freak from the Iraqi government and the shoe lady, quote, does not serve the interests of Iraq. Well, dear al-Sadr spokesman, are you out of your mind? Come on. What's the matter, dude? Too much time in the sun? It's not supposed to serve the interests of Iraq. Every single decision being made by your toy parliament and the shoe lady and your toy prime minister and his phony-ass little spokes geeks, do you really think any of that's supposed to serve the interests of Iraq? Please. Come on. You know whose interests it's supposed to serve. Come on. Come on. All right, let's do some phone calls on this. Anybody, because I'm about to switch over to and rip religion a new a body orifice here, and that's always fun, because of what David Petraeus said. It's finally being reported. And also what's going on when it comes to saving lives, most people believe that God is much better in saving lives than doctors. Oh, God. All right, so if you want to comment on the screaming, vile, profanity-laced tirade that just went on for the past hour on this program. The phone number is 800-989-1480, and our call screener is going to be merciless. So you better have your act together if you're going to try to get on this program. I am serious as a heart attack. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will, because I can.
I know there's a lot of speculation that these reports in Washington mean there's going to be some kind of graceful exit out of Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq to get the job done.
Past the hour. I got an email here from Philip who wants to know why it was only those four senators who raised a bit of protest, Feingold, Kennedy, White House, and who was the other one? Oh, Jesus. You remember. My brain is packed full of little blood vessels trying to erupt all at the same time. But Philip wants to know, why wasn't Obama and Clinton's name on that letter to McCasey? What about John McCain's name? What about one single Republican? What about their names, huh? But no, I get the point. And Philip is a little pissed off. I don't know why people get so pissed off about this. Feingold, Kennedy, Durbin, and White House. That's right. Anyway, Philip writes, how about that? The fact that Obama and Clinton's name were not on the letter to McCasey. How about that, Philip writes? It's you dumb bastards that insist on supporting two people who are not even close to being progressive. Where were their names on the letter written by Feingold, Kennedy, White House, and Durbin? Wait, isn't Obama, aren't Obama and Clinton sitting senators who are well aware of the plan? Where's the stump speech about not letting the Bush crime family tear apart the Constitution anymore? Nowhere! Just a statement saying McCain doesn't get the economic crisis because he doesn't know how many houses he owns. Yeah, that's information America needs to know. Don't you think, Barack supporters? How blanking stupid can you people be? Well, hang on, hang on. Isn't Obama's whole campaign about telling us he plans on making changes? Oh, wait. Maybe the changes he intends is more changes to the Constitution. And then Philip closes with, "Wake up, dumbasses." this is very painful. It really is. It's all painful, isn't it? Every single bit of this is painful. I know as a Democrat, I'm supposed to just lock down and step off with the Democratic Party nominee and accept. You know, I could probably do that, except the Democratic Party nominee voted to grant retroactive immunity to corporate lawbreakers and also voted with his Senate vote to end the Fourth Amendment. But I'm still supposed to do it, right? I'm still supposed to do it. If you want to do it, if you are that crazy, if you are that disrespectful of the U.S. Constitution, if you are that willing to assist in the burial and murder of your own country, then go ahead. But don't send me your rinky-dink critical emails about, "Oh, Malloy, there he goes again." What is wrong with you? Rhetorical question. I don't expect an answer. Do we have anybody? Oh, we do, don't we? Let's start with Steve, who's calling from Sussex, Wisconsin, listening on the internet. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, I hope, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful or anything. I can't wrap my head around exactly what's the game plan here. I mean, are we supposed to now vote for Democratic congressman? Or because I thought last week you said, let's vote in a full Democratic majority and let them give John McCain, President John McCain, hell. And that made sense to me to a certain degree, because that way the Republican Party is exposed for what it is. So I'm not sure I follow you after today.
All right, where have I got you confused?
Should we still vote for Democrat? Because you seem to lump together.
All right. Okay. I kind of get what you're saying, Steve. I don't recommend anybody vote any particular way. What you hear on this program is my confusion, my chaos. What I try to do is to point out, though, the idiocy of repeating the same activity over and over again, political activity, and expecting something to be different. I also try to point out the voting records to the best I can. You can do a much better job than I can just by researching all these different candidates. As far as the House and the Senate, yeah, my original game plan was give the presidency to McCain, give it to him, because he can't do anything if the House and the Senate our veto-proof majorities for the Democratic Party, and if, two big ifs here, and if the Democrats start trying to restore representative government in the foundations of this republic. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I have no idea. That was the game plan. The game plan now, as far as I know, hasn't changed in my head, but I will be goddamned if I'm going to do it again. If I'm going to vote for someone again who has no respect, as evidenced by his vote, for the Constitution. What do you suggest? We were trustees of folks. We did as we were told, on so. It was the greatest show of all the world. All the brick alive.
radio matters here.
Five before the hour, I've gotten some really screwy emails tonight. Keep them coming. Back to your phone calls. Frank is calling from Columbus, Georgia, listening on Sirius. Hey, Frank.
Hey.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing good, Mike. Am I on the air?
Yes, sir, you are.
Well, I just wanted to just share your consternation and frustration with the political process right now. I think we should hang them all. They're not serving their country. They're not serving their constituents. They're just serving themselves, and they're, you know, thwarting the Constitution. And, I mean, I think it's time for us to take our country back.
Well, here's the only problem I see on the horizon. If an attempt is ever made, as it was in the late 18th century in this country, and then subsequent to our revolution in the French Revolution, and you know the English Revolution a couple of centuries before that, there's going to be an awful lot of bloodshed. Now, here's something to consider: with the militarization of the police forces across this country, the absolute control that the FBI has now over the lives of people, no matter what they do or who they are. And with a military that has been convinced that the rest of the civilian part of the United States are a bunch of soft whiners, I don't know. It's going to be difficult. And I'm not saying it's not doable. I'm just saying it's difficult. There is another way. It's still open to us. The door may slam shut eventually, but the door is still open to crack. If not the door, at least a window. If not a window, at least the attic, that little slot up there in the attic where the attic fan blows the hot air out of the house, that's still open. And that is to vote the bastards out of office, A, or B, don't participate by voting for someone that someone may feel is just the same old, same old. There are going to be names on the ballot here in Georgia that it will not be Barack Obama and will not be John McCain. There will be other names on the ballot for running for president. And, it, of course, it's everybody's individual decision on how to handle this. But, like I say, I think there's still a little bit of daylight that we can gravitate toward before all hell breaks loose. But you
well,
never
I'm
know.
Huh? I'm for a peaceful solution, but it's just, they're fighting so underhandedly and so dirty that, I mean, that the propaganda machine is just so strong. You're about the only person on mainstream media that's even speaking any reason, that I can see. And I listen to a lot. I can't even watch television anymore. MSNBC, I mean, they've just totally drunk the Kool-Aid. I can't watch television anymore. I've really followed it for a long time, and it was strange when Tim Russert died. To me,
what do you mean?
Well, I think he was somebody that really was going to ask some tough questions, and I just really wonder. I'm suspicious of that death. I mean, I know the guy wasn't in great health or whatever.
I would disagree with you. I watched Tim Russert for probably off and on for as long as he was on the air, and I never saw Tim Russert as in terms of media. I'm sure he was a wonderful father and a wonderful son and a wonderful husband and all that stuff, whatever. But as far as media, as far as being a news guy is concerned, and we talked about this around the time of his death, I don't think he ever contributed anything to the larger discussion in this country about political truth. I really don't. He was like most people who are in television and who have those kinds of jobs or news anchors, they are suck-ups to power, because they are owned by corporations. Tim Russert was owned by General Electric.
Right.
There's just no way to get around that. They paid his salary. And when you are owned by a corporation like General Electric, There are certain things you will and will not do. So no disrespect to Tim Russert as a husband, a father, a son, all that stuff. As far as a news guy, he wasn't worth the powder to blow him to hell. He just wasn't. And I think a lot of people who followed his career would be willing to admit that. He asked stupid questions. He never pressured people to tell the truth. He accepted whatever was put out there by these corporate-owned political thugs. So, I mean, that was my take then. It's been my take since he died.
Right.
It'll always be my take on Tim Russert. A wonderful man, I'm sure. But as far as the news guy, no. Not just nothing. No there, there.
Okay. Did you see the propaganda they put out lately about Obama with the Obama making fun of the Bible? It's a YouTube video.
No, I haven't seen that.
it's really ridiculous. I mean, to defend Obama, he was really just pointing out the hypocrisy of the way Christians profess to be being faithful Christians when they're supporting war. And it even he said that it's the quote where he's talking about the Sermon on the Mount and saying the Defense Department, you know, doesn't want to look at the Sermon on the Mount. They don't want to accept that. You know, people got to read their Bible. And they're saying that he's making fun of this YouTube voiceover saying that he's making fun of Americans like Americans don't know their Bible or whatever, when what Obama's pointing out is that, you know, the Defense Department can't stand the light of Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. I mean, you know, it's just...
Well, I certainly would agree with Barack Obama on that point. I'll agree with any politician or any man, woman, or child, I don't care, who points out the hypocrisy of these professing Christians who are nothing more than scum. If they're going to be Christian, you know, the word Christian, it comes from the word Christ, and Christ was very simple. He gave about three or four sermons. That's it. All the rest of it is hog snot. And if anybody wants to take a look at what the man said and follow that, fine. But there's no such thing as a real, in reality, there's no such thing as a rich Christian. Why? Because Christ said, you know, get rid of your worldly goods, take up your cross, and follow me. There's no equivocation there. There's no, there's no own your seven condominiums, but, you know, come out and preach the gospel. There's nothing in there that says have a 25,000 member church and wear $10,000 shoes and $9,000 suits. That's hog snot. And everybody knows that. So, I mean, you know it, and I know it. Not everybody knows it. So I certainly agree with Barack Obama where it concerns his castigating these phony-ass Christians who would sell their own mother into hell if they thought it was somehow going to give them an extra leg up when it came to making money and then going to heaven, you know. Hey, listen, I got to leave it there. Thanks a lot for checking in, Frank. I appreciate it, okay? All right, take care. I'll agree. You know, when it comes to calling out these Bible-beating thugs, these liars and hypocrites, I'll agree with anybody on that one. You know, hell, I'll agree with George Wallace on that one. I'll agree with Minister Farrakhan on that one. Just, you know, trot the man or woman out who wants to point out the hypocrisy of Christians. I'm there. I'm in. You know, you kidding me? You kidding me? What is this thing that they came up with a few years ago? What is it, Kathy? Prosperity, salvation or something where Jesus wants you to go be rich? Jesus wants you to accumulate wealth? What? What? Remember that Prayer of Jabez book? Some psychotic son of a bitch who claimed to be a Christian conned the rest of these mouth-breathing freaks into believing that God and Jesus wanted everybody to go get rich and possess things and own stuff? What? Who said it? Easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter through the gates of heaven! Oh, but don't pay any attention to that. No, the Bible also says, always vote Republican. The Bible also says, to hell with the queers. The Bible also says, a marriage is one man and one woman, not a man and a dog. So, yeah, some politician, I don't care who it is, wants to go after these phony Christians, I'm in. I'm right there with you. Like David Petraeus, who says that there's a book out now an Army chaplain, wrote a book, Spiritual Handbook for Military Personnel. Petraeus endorsed the book, saying, quote, it should be in every rucksack for those times when soldiers need spiritual energy, end quote. Hey, David, you know, it's fundamentalist Christian. What about the Muslims in your army? What about the Jews? Better one. What about the atheists? What about the Buddhists? And as pointed out at Think Progress, Mikey Weinstein, the head of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, says that it strains credulity that Petraeus didn't know his private written endorsement of the book had been public since last year. See, Petraeus is, David is trying to hide behind that. Well, I didn't know. I don't know anything about it. I didn't know anything happened. He should be dismissed from his command position and court-martialed. Because, you see, that's against military law. Oh, never mind.
While the people beg for mercy, they can no relief. There's blood on your hands, mister. You'll answer for one day. And the tears you shed on that day won't wash your sins away. Well, Jesus.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 10 before the hour. Okay, quick email here from Tom in Joshua Tree. It's California, right? Mike, what most left-wing and progressives do not understand, cannot themselves grasp, is that most Americans detest freedom and don't want anything to do with it. They're begging to have it taken away so they can all be good little boys and girls and do what's right in daddy's eyes. We have an illiterate population, codependent, malnourished, pharmaceutically neutered nation, unable to think, fearful of any free expression of any kind or sort that is not 110% entertainment. 80% of Americans are either Republican or apathetic liberals who will do anything within their power to watch life for others fall into hell just so they can be lucky enough to escape responsibility for their own lives. And that is what most thinking people cannot wrap their heads around. People want freedom from freedom, not freedom. The left is by and large hedonistic, self-serving, and utterly without conscience. They're a bunch of blathering BSers. They want pretty pictures, funny TV, and lots of sugary foods. We are an obese, heart-diseased, mentally fouled nation of torturers, and that's all. Ow! So here's what I suggest, Tom writes. An all-out campaign for McKinney and or Nader, just fly into the face of this devil, this death rattle, this purient ignorance, this spineless debacle, because that's the only way we can maintain any existential dignity at all. Of course they'll lose, but at least we can defend our own conscience and die with our boots on. The only other option is to call for an all-out military coup led by someone like General Wesley Clark, who has the know-how and ability to marshal forces and reestablish democracy, because that's what it's come to. Tom, I was watching a thing on the History Channel, was it yesterday, the day before, narrated by Tom Brokaw, called 1968. Right? You walked into the room and saw me watching that for a while there. 1968.
That was a very good year for me.
That was the year you were born. Oh, my God. Actually, I'm 50 years older than you. Anyway, it was narrated by Tom Brokaw, which doesn't detract from the fact that it was a pretty good documentary, as much as I saw. But they focused a lot on the student protest movement. It was kind of anti-hippie in a way, but not completely. But a focus on the student protest movement. And it made the salient point, the obvious point, that the reason there was so much, that you all have made the point on this program, the reason there was so much protest against injustice and the war in Vietnam and the draft and so on and so forth is because there was a draft. Because every single young American male understood that he was going to have to go die for corporate America. And he just wasn't ready to do that, especially for such a filthy, stinking lie as the war in Vietnam. And some of the student protest leaders they focus on, one of them was Mark Rudd, who led the protest at, was it Columbia? I believe it was Columbia University, that pretty much spread to a degree that there was some hope, anyway, in the student left that it would be instrumental in really influencing decisions by the Johnson administration, which it did. Johnson said, I will not seek, nor will I accept nomination of my party. And then we got Nixon. You remember that? Then we got Nixon. Jesus, God. But Mark Rudd is still around. At least he was around when this documentary was put together, and I don't think it's more than a few months old, but there was Mark Rudd in his, mid-60s now, probably? Early 60s, mid-60s? Gained weight, of course, like so many of us in this country do. Still had the long long hair, didn't he? I'm remembering long white hair now. But, yeah, he was talking about what motivated the student protest leaders back in the 60s, and how there just isn't that dynamic now. And I think that's one of the things, as some of the callers have pointed out of this program over the months, or the past few months, one of the reasons that student movement has not developed in this country to the extent necessary, in my opinion anyway, is because there is not that unifying force of the draft. So the power in this country understood, clearly. They learned their lessons from the 60s. Oh, yeah, they did. They sure did. No, let's not have a draft. Hell no. That'll get people too riled up. Let's just militarize all the police departments, do away with civil liberties. When these political conventions come up, have holding pens that look like places where you put animals about ready to be slaughtered. Let's just destroy the Constitution. Let's put up corporate candidates. We don't have to confront these young bastards head on. Nah, that's another lesson they learned. We don't have to do that. Makes for bad television. You know, seeing helmeted police beating the living Christ out of women and children and students. No, we don't want that. Tell you what, here's the way we do it. Just lock it all down. Just lock it down. Make sure that the only people that get into college are people who can afford to be there, or people who don't have the time to get involved in anything other than their studies and trying to pay their tuition. Make it so expensive. And militarize the police. And tell the youngsters that can't get into college, come on over here and join the military. We'll make a man out of you. And then convince those youngsters that the rest of these young people are slackers, and if push ever comes to shove, deserve to be shot. Kind of an interesting plan, wasn't it? Huh? Well, here we are. All right, stick around. If you're on hold, we're going to get to you when we come back after the break. And also, I want to get to this thing about God heals better than doctors. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. I'm still Mike Malloy. This is still the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for hanging out. Quick email, and then I'm going to just drop one more topic in here, and then we'll go back to your phone call. So if you're on hold, stay there. Stay there. This is from Dave. All right, it's Mike. Yes, our Constitution is being torn apart by both sides of the political fence, but it is important to, for listeners to understand that we are always picking the lesser of two evils. There's no way an independent can win the White House this election. The choice is clear. I applaud you for pointing out hypocrisy from both Republicans and Democrats, but if we are to win back the White House, we must point out to your listeners that voting for McCain will definitely continue this vicious cycle that will destroy our way of life and a worse choice than Obama. The reality is that politics has always been dirty, and we are picking the lesser of two evils when we pick Obama. Please don't let reality make you bitter, though. Still, I laugh my ass off when you rant. I love it. You always are fun to listen to. I'm a liberal. I would vote for an independent if I thought we had a chance, but I'm being real here. Obama is the only choice. What makes matters difficult is I'm dating a Republican. Oh, my God, I said it. He's a wonderful guy in every way, well, except for that. We agree to disagree. I try to point things out to him, but I chose to pick love over politics. No, I'm not a traitor. I'm still working on him in little ways. He is just misinformed, as are most Republicans. They are not all bad. Maybe I was put with him to convert him into a liberal. I will keep you posted on my progress. Watch your back. Keep it lit. Dave. I think it's insane to pair off with somebody who is not of the same political opinion, but what do I know? This is from Gordon in Oklahoma, who writes, Mike, I was interrupted when you were quoting someone who claims God heals better than doctors. I hope I got that right, and it doesn't surprise me. Well, then, who needs universal health care, if such is true? As far as that goes, who needs doctors, nurses, pharmacies, or hospitals? We can even eliminate Medicare, Medicaid, and health care benefits offered by our employers. But not so fast! I've seen skilled surgeons reattach hands. Never once has any deity replaced an amputated hand or leg or arm. How about replacing granny's dentures for the real thing? Now that would be impressive and will ease her enjoyment of corn on the cob. Additionally, nobody will laugh when her teeth are out and she says, mincemeat. Nor have I or any I know seen a faith healer leave his carefully scripted environment, rush to the nearest hospital emergency department, heal people as they exit an ambulance. What a scam. But people are getting very wealthy with such a scheme, Gordon. Yeah, well, what Gordon's referring to, what I mentioned was, I saw this the other day. It's a story from the Associated Press. It says when it comes to saving lives, God trumps doctors for many Americans. An eye-opening survey reveals widespread belief that divine intervention can revive dying patients. And researchers said doctors, quote, need to be prepared to deal with families who are waiting for a miracle, end quote. More than half of randomly surveyed adults, 57%, yeah, that's more than half, said God's intervention could save a family member even if physicians declared treatment would be futile. When asked to imagine their own relatives being gravely ill or injured, nearly 20% of doctors and other medical workers said God could reverse a hopeless outcome. The survey appears in the Archives of Surgery, which is out this week. It involved 1,000 U.S. adults randomly selected to answer questions by telephone about their views on end-of-life medical care. The lead author is a doctor, University of Connecticut surgery professor and trauma chief at Hartford Hospital. He, Dr. Jacobs is his name, he said trauma treatment advances have allowed patients who previously would have died at the scene of an accident survive longer. The shift means hospital trauma specialists, quote, are much more heavily engaged in the death process, end quote. Jacob says he frequently meets people who think God will save their dying loved one and consequently wants medical procedures to continue. Dr. Jacob said, quote, you can't say that's nonsense. You have to respect that, end quote. And he tried to show them x-rays, CAT scans, and other medical evidence indicating death is imminent. He said relatives need to know that it's not that you don't want a miracle to happen. It's just that it's not going to happen today with this patient. Dr. Michael Seiss, trauma medical director at Scripps Mercy Hospital in San Diego, called the study, quote, a great contribution, end quote, to one of the most intense issues doctors face. Seiss, who's a Catholic doctor in a Catholic hospital, said miracles don't happen when medical evidence shows death is near. He said, quote, that is just not a realistic situation. Well, you know, when I read this, and I just thought, it's astonishing to me, because if miracles happen, I mean, this is just, I'm being very cavalier with the whole topic here, but I'm going to do it anyway. If miracles really do happen when someone is on the verge of dying and the family gets together and beg God, please, 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 and God says, okay. And down the hall is another patient who's dying, and the relatives are all gathered around, please, 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 God. And God says, ah, screw you, and doesn't respond? What is that? Is that the sort of capricious God? Oh, I know. If you're a believer right now, you're saying, well, Mike, you just don't understand. There is God's greater plan. Oh, stop. Stop. This plane crash in Spain the other day. I read there was something like there were two or three babies and like, what was it, Kathy, 10, 12, 15, 20 children on board. So God, in his very capricious attitude, just said, I think I'll kill 20 children today. you know, 20 on the airplane. I'll kill a few more over here in Darfur and some over here in Iraq and some in Afghanistan and some in China and some in North Vietnam. And I have such a problem with the God thing. I really do. It reminds me of the anti-vaccine people. Oh, be careful, Malloy. You're really going to stir our hornet's nest with this one. You think talking down about the Democrats is a hair trigger topic? Get on the vaccine thing. You know, I am so pro-vaccine because I've had children and they've all had their shots. See, nobody remembers. I'm old enough to remember when my playmates would goddamn die of measles. I'm old enough to remember that. I'm old enough to remember going over to a friend's house and he says, hey, you want to come down the street and see my cousin? He's in an iron lung. You know, I remember this stuff. I remember people going blind from chicken pox. The anti-vaccine crowd to me are the same as the anti-evolution crowd, the same as the crowd that believes in creationism. I just don't get this. And it's always kind of pissed me off. There is this thing called herd protection. That's not the right term. Herd immunity, I think, is what it is. If a certain percentage of a given population, like all the five-year-olds, are immunized against measles, say 80%. The other 20% are more or less protected, even the ones who don't, who are not vaccinated, simply because with 80% immunized, it means that the disease, the virus, is not going to get a hold in this target, if you will, population. So the 80% that are immunized give the other 20% who are not a kind of herd immunity. But those 20% of the parents can say one of two things. See, I knew I shouldn't do it. Those goddamn vaccines will kill you. Or, God protected my child. What is wrong? What is wrong with people? You know, the purest evidence of evolution is the mutation of viruses that are doing the same thing you're doing, struggling to get its genetic material into the next generation. So it mutates. Oh, God, I get tired of this.
I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I've got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard of my car.
my trials and tribulations, and my travels through the nations. With my plastic Jesus, I'll go far.
Night, Truth Seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right, back to your phone calls. Jane is calling from, is it Wood Hills, California or Woodland Hills?
Hey.
Huh?
I'm here.
Yeah,
Woodland Hills, California.
Woodland Hills. Listening on KTLK. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Mike. Good to finally talk to you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Listen, I'm with you on Tim Russert. I used to sit there and say, hey, man, when are you going to say something to this jerk?
Really?
And listen, there's never going to be... excuse me, my allergies are kicking up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's never going to be a revolution in this country if there wasn't one during the Vietnam era, and deregulation of pot, there never will be. I've been waiting for 40 years, and I've given up.
You've been waiting for 40 years for what? To have pot legalized?
And a revolution.
And a revolution? Do you know?
All
right, let me ask you now. Do you know how to handle small arms? Do you know how to handle grenades? Do you know how?
But I'm going to get a gun and take lessons. How to shoot.
All right.
And
well,
all that.
You know, I just am always curious when people talk about they're waiting for the revolution. Are you sure you're prepared if it were to come?
Well, I have enough water, I think, but that's about it.
No, not water, unless you,
I know,
unless
I know.
You plan on drowning the enemy. No, I'm talking about being able to participate fully. You know, come on, Jane. You sound like somebody who could probably handle a 50 caliber machine gun fairly well. Right? Huh?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, but I've been thinking of joining PETA.
Well, that'll help.
Listen, Mike, I have never heard anyone out here in Southern California talk like you or have the emotions, show the emotions that you do besides me.
Oh, really? It's you and me against the world, then, right, kid?
And your other callers.
Huh?
And your other callers.
Oh, they're a bunch of wimps. It's you and me. You and me!
Now, very, very quickly, I want to say that I have been thinking for a while, and listening to you, you have pushed me over the edge. I hate the Democrats almost as much as I hate the Republicans, them spineless cowards, Pelosi, Reid, and Denny Hoyer and the rest of them bums.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to change to independent, and I think all us Democrats should change to independent or green or whatever to show the Democrats that they blow and we're not with them anymore, and they won't have the power because there's supposed to be more Democrats in the country than Republicans registered.
You'd never know that, by the way, the government keeps lurching further and further and further to the right.
I can't take it. And I just love, I heard a promo, don't go to bed angry, let Mike do it for you.
Yeah? Where did you hear that?
On your show.
Oh, okay. All right, listen, two words of advice.
Yes.
Two words of advice.
Yes.
First, learn how to handle small arms.
Yes.
And if you really want to specialize, go up to a 50 caliber machine gun and maybe hand grenades. All right? After you do that, make sure that you check out all these candidates, and when you go to vote, Jane, you know, because nobody wants to really get to the down and dirty. Nobody wants to get to the point where, you know, we're trying to get our neighbors in the crosshairs. So, we've got to do something to break the death grip that the Democrats and the Republicans have, on the United States. And the only way to break that death grip is to start voting, with our heads. Instead of voting out of habit. Thanks, Jane. Good to hear from you. Take care. Tom is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Well, good grief. We went from politics, then on to God, and now we're talking firearms?
That's the Malloy program.
Well, you know, I've been listening, and like she says, you just draw out that part of me that agrees with you completely. My only thought earlier, and I've been waiting for a while, and I think you pretty much covered it, but we're at that point where these two candidates, no matter which one wins, is sure to serve the corporate elite.
That's exactly what it's come down to, and I think anyone who disagrees with that does not have his or her eyes open. What did I read the other day? The energy industry, that's coal, oil, natural gas, has contributed more to the Obama campaign than to the McCain campaign. Does that mean something? Does that mean that Obama is slick and he's taking these fools for a ride, going to take their money and then bring the hammer down? Or does it mean something else? So it's Tom, let me put you on hold, and we'll come back for another minute when the break is over. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Jesus, won't you go over the line?
Joy and I learned about the pain that my mama said. If I should choose to make a part of me. Go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. We were talking with Tom in Phoenix. All right, Tom, where were we?
I don't know. Let me bounce an idea off you, okay? And tell me whether you agree. Hey, this is what I've been thinking about a lot.
All right.
A terrorist act is not a military act, and a military act is not a terrorist act. They're two different, completely different things.
Well, in theory...
military act involves the command and control of land. It involves establishing control over a body of land. A terrorist act is just when you throw the grenade and run.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you call a firebombing of a city full of civilians by... Wait a minute. I was not finished. What do you call the firebombing of a city full of civilians by a military organization? Do you call that an act of terror?
I would say, well, it does involve some aspects of terror. But if for it to be, as I understand, my personal concept of military is they have to ring that city and say, we own you now.
And what if they don't?
Then I would call it a terrorist act.
All right. Would you say that the 11 years of violence against the Iraqis by the U.S. mainly and the Brits mainly, was that an act of terror wherein 500,000 children were butchered simply because they happened to be breathing air that was clustered around cities in Iraq? Would that have been an act of terror?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Okay. But those acts were committed by established uniformed militaries.
Oh, yeah. It can go either
way. So the line between acts of terror... And acts by a military doesn't exist. If it does exist, it's rather blurred.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Now, let me just make a quick point. For the American people to fall for using the military to quote, fight terrorism was an unfortunate mistake. Via the media, their anger was generated and, guys singing country western songs about going and kicking butt and all that. That was fundamentally wrong. I believe that the way you fight terrorism is through national and internet cooperation between national and international intelligence and police agencies. That is the true way. That is the way acting on tips and spending the time and money to do that. All a terrorist needs is a friendly banker. If I'm a terrorist somewhere in the Middle East and I see you're coming, all I need is a friendly banker in Bangkok or Buenos Aires and move my millions into his bank and change where I'm a part of.
There may be an element of truth to that, but Tom, I have to fundamentally disagree with the entire concept of fighting terrorism. By definition, terrorism is unfightable. It is unstoppable. It is unconquerable. By definition, that's not me talking. That's what terrorism is in a perfectly controlled society where nobody jaywalks, nobody commits murder, nobody robs a bank, a perfectly controlled society. All it takes is one person to throw a grenade into a major intersection during rush hour traffic and you have an act of terror. How would you have stopped him? Even in a police state, even in the Warsaw ghetto, surrounded by Nazis, you couldn't stop acts that might have been considered acts of terror against the establishment. And again, one person's act of terror is another person's act of revolution. But by definition, that's why the war on terror is so bogus. It stinks. And how many Americans in media and in the general public and academia all over the place, politics, how many Americans have bought into it? Oh, we're involved in a war on terror. There is no such thing. It cannot be done. Easier you should strike a match on a wet cake of soap then expect that you're going to wage a war on terrorism. By definition, it can't be done. It cannot be done. It doesn't exist. Did I get all yelly there and ranting? I'm sorry. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. A couple of emails here. This cracks me up. This comes from Detroit. From Martin, who is in room 432 North in the cardiac unit, and he names the hospital in Detroit. Hi, Mike. I'm currently resting in the cardiac unit of a local Catholic hospital. I had two stress-induced heart attacks a week ago, about a month after being diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I underwent angioplasty surgery to insert two stents into my right coronary artery last Friday. Now, if God is in the business of intervening and deciding who lives and dies, then I should be worm food by now. I'm an atheist and a communist, and sort of a loudmouth about that, being treated in a Catholic hospital for all this. I would think that if God is going to intervene at a point in my relatively short life, I'm only 35, to put me down, it would be when my heart is so weak and I'm lying in one of his or her hospitals. But here I sit, listening to you over the internet, chatting with my comrades and writing for our organization's publications, still waiting for the smite. Keep up the great work and don't sweat the small stuff. Cheers, Martin, his last name, and his in the cardiac unit at the hospital in Detroit. So I wrote back to Martin and told him he's in my prayers. thanks, Martin. Prairie 2 writes, Mike, if God were to interfere by granting miracles, that would mean there's no free will. If God spares a butterfly in China, it creates a hurricane in New Orleans. If God has an all-encompassing plan, then there is no free will. If there's no free will, then how do you pray for a miracle in New Orleans, since it was already decided for you when God spared the butterfly in China? Oh, that's one of those brain teasers, right? Prairie 2. Let me do that again. If God were to interfere by granting miracles, that would mean there is no free will. If God spares a butterfly in China, it creates a hurricane in New Orleans. If God has an all-encompassing plan, then there is no free will. If there is no free will, then how do you pray for a miracle for New Orleans, since it was already decided for you when God spared the butterfly in China? Too deep for me. Back to your phone calls. Who's next in the crosshairs? Deb is calling from Buffalo, New York, listening on the Internet. Hey, Deb.
Hi. I heard today that there's a warehouse filled with voting machines that are easily rigged, like millions of dollars worth.
Yeah.
Don't you feel that the people aren't that stupid that the voting machines rigged us and got us into this situation?
What do you mean people aren't so stupid?
Like you're saying, like we voted for the wrong people and... First of all, Bush, I don't think, was really elected. I think it was the voting machines and then the justices that put him in power. And there's a lot at stake right now for especially women with a Roe versus Wade and the justices. I can't take any chances with voting for an independent right now because we aren't going to make it. I was for Kucinich. I was totally for him, but...
Well, let me ask you something. Are you aware that the last two appointees to the Supreme Court, John Roberts and Samuel Alito, are both anti-abortion, and they were both confirmed by the Democrats?
Right, but didn't they...
Well, no, wait. Don't just move that quickly off of that. Okay, but that's a pretty profound thing I'm saying to you. Listen, let me tell you why. If the Democrats allow these sorts of Supreme Court justices to be confirmed to the Supreme Court, the ones who are anti-abortion and state it categorically in their records, everyone knows they're anti-abortion, including the Democrats that voted to confirm them, then what makes you think that'll be any different? In the first place, a Republican or a Democrat president does not appoint Supreme Court justices. They nominate them.
I think they were pressured. I had a father who was a 20-year sergeant in the military, and everybody was afraid of him. So I see that, and not me. Everybody around me was afraid of this guy. He was mean and nasty, and anywhere you went, people like, yes, sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I wasn't intimidated by my father, and I could see these people being intimidated by Bush.
I could, you could see
that he puts them through.
You could see who being intimidated by Bush.
I could see Pelosi be intimidated by Bush and Democrats.
But afraid.
I think if you and me were there, we wouldn't be intimidated.
But okay, all right, Deb. Thanks.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I appreciate you checking in. But Pelosi has nothing to do whatsoever with Supreme Court justices. I'm sorry, Deb. She has nothing to do whatsoever with Supreme Court justices. That is the that has to do with the Senate.
I want more talk to you.
10 before the hour. Well, this was just a hell of a lot of fun tonight, wasn't it? Huh? Thanks to the crazed individuals who thrust this program on you tonight. That includes Ian Huff, Billy Foster, Ben Birch, Bob Alexander, Bridget with Sharon Gordy, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. But anyway, thanks for hanging out tonight. I do appreciate it. You people are really into abuse, aren't you? Huh? That's all right, you know. Whatever gets you through the night. Back to the calls. John is calling from Fairfax, Virginia, listening on the Internet. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Great. Listen, I've been following your thing about kind of throwing your hands up in the air and giving it to McCain and everything. And
well, it's not a throw your hands up in the air action. It's a very strategic move to utterly, absolutely, and completely do two things. One, destroy for the next several generations, if not permanently, the Republican Party.
Okay.
And two, shake the American people out of this deep, lethargic sleep that we seem to be in. Okay, so it's not a throw-your-hands-up-in-the-air attitude at all. It's very strategic.
Okay, well, here's the problem, and I think that, you know, I can take a dump on the Democrats just with it like anybody else can, you know. But I think that there's one simple argument against that that's pretty potent, and that is that we're at a tipping point with this Supreme Court.
All right,
and
now,
I'm glad
now,
you just brought that up on the
I don't know why I have to keep going over and over about this. The last two right wing neo Nazis put on the Supreme Court were put there by Democrats.
Yes.
Why does nobody seem to get that?
I think they do get that, and that's why.
Well, then why is that a factor in the presidential election?
Well, because McCain would offer up two or three more of these pig judges, and just as you're saying, the Democrats would rubber stamp them, whereas Barack won't offer up the same kind of pig judges.
Wait a minute. You're assuming, aren't you? Isn't this a massive assumption, John? Barack Obama voted to grant retroactive immunity to corporate lawbreakers who participated in a scheme to make to give to the government all of our personal emails and phone calls.
Yes.
Let me finish. And he also voted. Not only did he say that's okay, but he said let's continue it. In effect, Barack Obama, with his vote, decided to end the Fourth Amendment. And you're saying I should trust him to nominate judges who will do what?
Well, all I'm saying is that...
No, to judges who will do what? Protect the Constitution?
Well,
he just took a shot at it, John!
Well, you can kiss it goodbye with McCain, and that's
not
much.
Obama. Obama, you know, I don't know how I don't think McCain even voted on the FISA Act. I don't know. I don't care because I'm not a Republican, and I don't worship at the altar of doddering old freaks who is it still Vietnam, honey? What time? You know, I can't go there. How many houses do I have? Somebody tell me quick. Oh, Christ. Check with my staff. I'm sorry, John. You know, we can agree to disagree. You apparently are in favor of complete, total fascism. And I still believe that there's a chance to... hell, you're probably right. You're probably right. Let me suggest something, because frankly, no offense intended here. I've already pissed off 90% of the audience, so I guess it really doesn't matter. But I'm not trying to be offensive here. But if you're a Democrat, or if you support Barack Obama for whatever reason, or support any generic Democrat to be president for whatever reason, will you do me a favor and please stop calling me and telling me that it is absolutely necessary we have a Democrat in the White House because of the Supreme Court thing. That simply is not the case. Because a president does not appoint Supreme Court justices. Please, please, I'm really begging everyone who listens to this program, please get that through your heads, okay? A president nominates It is then up to the Senate to confirm or deny. The Democrats in the Senate, not just the last two, but we can go back over several before that. At any point in the history of the nomination of right-wing, neo-fascist Supreme Court justices, the Democrats could have stopped it and did not. Who is in control when this sorry, sick Clarence Thomas was nominated and confirmed? Who is in control?
Oh, them.
So I'm really, you know, I'm really begging you. Make any other argument you want to make, but not that one. Because it's bogus. It's nonsense. You've had your brains fried or washed or something into thinking that the current crop of Democrats and the Democrats on the horizon who make it to the Senate are going to stop the further nomination and confirmation of right-wing justices. Does nobody understand what has happened in this country? Does nobody understand? There is no liberal left anymore. It doesn't exist. We can get it back if we want to, if we pull our heads out of our rectums and start thinking clearly, but oh well. Hey, listen, I'll see you tomorrow night. Maybe, maybe not, because you may have decided to yourself, that's enough of this son of a bitch. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.